Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Please be seated. My introduction to the idea of resurrection came from my first reading of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. For those not familiar with this, it's the first of the set of seven fairy tales comprising the Narnia Chronicles, written by theologian C.S. Lewis after World War II. I was reminded of the significance of this book in my life when I happened to come across a DVD of the 2005 Disney version of the story in the midst of our Lenten cleaning and purging around St. James. Please don't ask me where I found it. I honestly can't remember at this moment. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe tells the story of four children, two girls and two boys, who find their way into a magical world that is trapped in a never-ending winter due to a curse imposed on it by the White Witch. The curse cannot be broken until two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve find their way to Narnia to break it. So it's the arrival of Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy who make it possible for the curse to be broken and Aslan the lion to return. Along the way, Edmund meets the White Witch, who claims to be the queen of Narnia, and she entices him into her sphere of influence with the promise of an unlimited supply of candy, very enticing to a young children, as the parents and grandparents of any child today know. The release of Edmund from the White Witch, Aslan agrees to be killed on the stone table. Susan and Lucy watch in horror as their beloved leader is tied down, humiliated, and killed by the followers of the witch. But soon after everyone leaves the scene of the brutal killing, there's a great noise as the stone table cracks in two and Aslan's body disappears. Aslan soon returns to life and assists the newly crowned queens and kings of Narnia, Susan, Peter, Edmund, and Lucy, as they defeat the White Witch once and for all. The child and figuring out for myself that Aslan the lion was a lot like Jesus. As an adult, I've come to know that that is a Christ figure. I was overjoyed as a child that Aslan returned, and that was enough for me to understand the resurrection as an early elementary school child. Celebrate. It was as a young adult that I began to ponder what the resurrection of Jesus might mean, not just for those who surrounded Jesus in the first century, but for me personally, as well as for today's church and today's world. I quickly realized that it was much easier, much wiser actually, to contemplate the meaning of the resurrection rather than trying to figure out how it happened. I'm still much more interested in seeing evidence of resurrection than trying to explain a mystery that defies explanation. After all, even those who were the closest friends of Jesus couldn't grasp the significance of what happened on that first Easter morning. The women, who were legitimately perplexed at the sight of the empty tomb, had to be reminded by the angels that Jesus had told them that he would die and rise again after 3 days. The women reported what they had seen to the men, who refused to believe them. It's so tempting to say something here, but I won't. At least Peter was willing to go and check out the situation for himself. But his response was simply to go home in amazement not to spread the good news of the resurrection. It took a while for the reality of the resurrection to sink in, and not everyone was willing to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. There will always be doubters in our midst, those who refuse to believe that new life, the transformation, that resurrection is happening all around us, all the time. There are those who refuse to open their eyes to the power of God to do a new thing. Sometimes it is easy to see where new life is emerging. Take, for example, what's happening around here at St. James these days. It's obvious to all, except the most oblivious, that more people are coming to join us in worship and choosing to engage in the life of this congregation, truly a sign of new life that is easy for us to see. We also see it in our part of Westwood, with the redevelopment of the business district, the greater pride being taken in home ownership, and the increasing amount of neighborhood activity. It isn't always that easy to see the resurrection at work. In other parts of Westwood and East Westwood, it's common for people, not necessarily the residents, but those in the wider community, to believe that death and devastation still overshadow any prospect of new life. But that is not the whole story. We always have a choice to make, whether to focus on the negative or to see where new life is emerging that can be fanned into flame. Yesterday afternoon, many residents of East Westwood gathered at the Roll Hill School for an Easter egg hunt and party. I stopped by because I had made a donation on behalf of St. James from the discretionary fund to support the event, and it seemed important to me to incarnate that gift by showing up. I arrived as members of the President Drive Church of Christ were presenting a dramatic retelling of the Easter story. They were doing it in a cafeteria filled with children and adults who were astonishingly quiet. I know that more people heard the good news of the resurrection in that school cafeteria yesterday than will be sitting in most churches today. The genius behind yesterday's event was Rodney Christian, a member of Third Presbyterian Church in East Westwood. Rodney, who has the perfect last name, has made it his life's mission the neighborhood where he grew up and has lived virtually his entire adult life. He is pouring his heart and soul into being a witness to the power of the resurrection, to the possibility of a different way of being and living, by providing a positive role model to the young people of the neighborhood who live near the church. Over the 25 years that he has been engaged in this mission, it has borne an astonishing amount of fruit. It may be hard to see at times, but new life is emerging in East Westwood and in other parts of Westwood. And we at St. James have and will continue doing what we can to support and encourage that new life. In doing so, our lives are changed as well. And we become better at opening our eyes to what's happening right around us in our personal lives and in our church and in our neighborhood. It makes us better witnesses when we engage in ministry with partners like Rodney beyond this corner of Montana and Cheviot. Wherever we are called to serve as individuals or as a congregation, we are called to be witnesses to the resurrection in our own day, just as Peter witnessed to the first resurrection in preaching to curious Gentiles in Caesarea in the earliest days of the Christian movement. We will never convince everyone of the mystery of how suffering and sorrow, death and destruction can be transformed by Jesus into new life. And that can't deter us from going out and being witnesses to how our lives have been changed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God knows, and many of us know as well, that there are countless people in this broken and hurting world who need to hear that good news. And we are the ones empowered by our baptism into the body of Christ to go out and spread that word of hope, to share the power of God's love to defeat death once and for all. God did a new thing in the resurrection of Jesus, and God continues to do new things around us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.